Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the new normal from The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White. As always, we're sponsored by Diet Coke. Now, we've had some news on the Diet Coke sponsorship. They still don't know anything about it. There's going to be no comment from Diet Coke about our delicious sponsorship. And on whether or not they intend to give us $10,000 or pounds or euros as a joke. So far, no comment from the Diet Coke camp. But I believe that given the sponsorship opportunities I've given them over the last week, they kind of really owe me in back pay. And I feel like they're probably going to up the offer to £15,000 when they finally work out what's going on. That's my very real hope. I've started to believe in anything, really, with the way things are at the moment. The rules have all changed, or threatened to change to Pepsi. That's a great idea. What if I started saying, oh, it's sponsored by Pepsi? Do you think Diet Coke would get all pissed off? Like somebody that you're sexting who's like, I don't even care, until they realise you're sexting their flatmate. Or just invoice them, someone else is saying, you're so full of ideas. Your advertising means I'm currently walking home from Tesco with a multi-pack of Diet Coke. It's working. It's working. Diet Coke does fuel many, many feminists, and I'm not saying Coca-Cola is the best company. I'm saying they're the richest company. And right now, what I need is money because I can't sell tickets to live events anymore. And that's my full living. Now, my guest today on The New Normal is literally Scarlett Curtis. Let me see if Scarlett Curtis is here. Yes, she is. Let me request live with Scarlett Curtis in 5, 4, 3... There she is, and she's got Diet Coke. Oh, my God.
I know. I'm phenomenal. All set. I've actually also got a kombucha, so maybe they could sponsor you instead.
I mean, what I love is that you've doubled the Diet Coke sponsorship. If we could hold it up together, and then I'll send them this, great. We're trying to get £10,000 as a joke from Diet Coke.
People might know me as an activist, but actually all my activism is building up to one campaign, which is the cause I believe in most in the world, which is multiple drinks. I think there's a big stigma against multiple drinks, and my lifelong goal is to smash the stigma around multiple drinks.
I understand. That is a double. You're a double fister.
Yeah. Oh no, triple. Okay, I want, this is my dream at a meal, a hot drink.
Yes.
Water.
Yes.
A cold drink.
Yes.
An alcoholic drink. Ooh. And then maybe like a meal drink. Like I really like a sort of Virgin Bloody Mary or a Big Tom. So I would like 5.
You would? Are you having a meal with this? Or is this, are you?
Yeah. What I'm saying is, okay, if you're ordering a meal, you never say, I want just beef or just peas. You know?
No,
you're having,
I see.
Like, millions of ingredients on that table. Why do we limit ourselves to one liquid?
You're so right. That is so right. And you know, I'll often want like a Diet Coke or a soft drink of some sort and an alcoholic drink. But also I'm a big fan of the hot and cold. Often I'll go upstairs with a Diet Coke and a coffee.
You can't have a hot drink without a cold drink as well.
I'm really with you. I think this should be your next campaign.
It is. I'm trying to build up credit as an activist because I think this is going to be the hardest one to shift.
I think it will too. I do see that people might say, why is that necessary?
Yeah.
And where is the social change that I think if you took away the stigma of the 5-drink meal,
that's the thing. I'll do it at a bar and everyone goes, oh, who are you with? And I'm like, no, it's
nobody.
All for me.
That reminds me of one of my very first Guilty Feminist challenges ever, which was to go to Patisserie Valerie and order 3 different kinds of cake.
I remember that.
And just to be not apologetic about it, not sort of say, and then I had a conversation with the waitress afterwards and broke it down with her. Because she laughed.
Mm.
I remember how she laughed when I said, she came back and said, the apple pie is not available. And do you not want that? Shall I just take that off? I said, no, I will replace it with lemon meringue. And then she laughed and she said, everything for you. She was from Hungary, which people thought was very amusing because it was a pun.
Yeah.
But she explained to me that women often ordered cake, but did it with a little dance, like, oh, I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Should we go halves?
Yeah.
I shouldn't. And I was like, this is so funny because it's Patisserie Valerie. It's not accidental.
You haven't walked in there hoping for, you know, a salad.
It's not an accidental caking. It is a deliberate caking, but there's always a little dance of I shouldn't. And I said, do men ever order more than one piece of cake? And she said, oh, all the time. And there's no apology at all. It's just like, yeah, I'll have the cheesecake and the chocolate.
That's interesting because I also think there is a stigma on men against eating like sweet foods because I think sometimes it can be seen as unmasculine. And it's I have this theory, which is men always, if men vape, they vape very sweet, sugary vape liquids.
Oh.
And I think it's because they don't feel they can order candy floss, you know, at a fairground, but they can vape candy floss liquid.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because it's seen as a feat to go and have an ice cream or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you rarely see a man with like a sort of extravagant sweet treat.
Mm.
I think it's seen as feminine.
That's very, very interesting. But I think they're allowed. She's right. They're allowed to order.
Oh, they're allowed dessert pudding. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. I just think they're against, like, you know, a flying saucer, or a or a sort of feminine delicate.
I do know thing. What you mean. A sort of banana split ice cream with a
yeah,
thing out.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
That's true. I remember once, I was just in a joshing mood, but a waiter asking me at a group dinner with lots of other performers. Whether I wanted dessert. And I said, oh God, no, I'm a woman. Cake is a private treat. And I was joshing, but I thought later, and it's true. That was true for me then that I would not want to, I didn't want the judgment and which was probably completely perceived. I don't think anyone would have cared. But I enjoyed eating cake and ice cream on my own because then I could really enjoy it and no one would watch me.
Yeah. I also think, sometimes it is just more enjoyable on your own. Like, you know, if
you're not distracted by people, you can really enjoy every mouthful.
The shame, but, you know, I've been single for a long time and lived on my own for a long time. And there are some foods that I just enjoy eating so much on my own, in bed, with my multiple drinks and Grey's Anatomy on. And
So I think that leads us to, how's your quarantine going, Scarlett?
How's my quarantine going? Well, so I made, look, if you notice, I'm very dressed up. I'm going to do a little dance for you.
Oh my God, that's stunning.
Yeah.
That's a Carrie Bradshaw number.
I know, because I moved back in with my parents at the beginning of quarantine and I just realised all I brought was party clothes. Because I don't really know what was going through my head. I was very panicked while I was packing. And I have a lot of very extravagant dresses and I thought I might just need them all. And I've only been wearing my pyjamas, basically. But it's tough. It's really tough. I found it very hard on my mental health and generally quite testing.
Mm. Do you have anything that you do to keep mentally and emotionally more stable some days? Is there anything that works for you?
I do. And I think something I found very hard at the beginning is I've developed over the years a lot of tools to keep my mental health sane. And I felt like I'd lost a lot of those because of the quarantine.
Yes.
I, you know, going to therapy, going to the gym, going to acupuncture, like all the silly things that I do that keep me sane, seeing my friends, all of that. And I think
None
I've,
of those are silly, by the way, just to be clear. I know
yeah,
you're being
but
flippant,
you know,
but
all
they're
the
not.
things
They're
I do,
really,
yeah,
really not. It's
they're not silly.
important.
And even things like getting your nails done, you know, that's the kind of thing that does impact my mental health. Oh my God,
Please witness some
don't.
of the shellac.
Okay,
Witness.
you can tell how long quarantine's been going on because I had acrylic nails on and then they came off, and then half my nail is like literally yellow and green.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's
Wow.
disgusting.
Yeah, mine are splitting because the shellac's coming off of its own accord. It's not ideal. It's
No,
not ideal.
one night my mum came in and I was crying and I just went, I just never thought there'd be a time when I wouldn't be able to get my acrylic nails done. I
I
prepared them
mean.
so much, but not that. But yeah, I've been trying to work them back in. I've been still exercising, which has definitely been helping. I think for me, probably the biggest shift has been I'm very reliant on work. I'm definitely a workaholic and my work is, you know, the central part of my life, and I'm used to working like 14 hours a day and that being where I get my socializing and my achievements and all that. And I've moved back with my family. I'm helping my family quite a lot, with just general day-to-day things. And I think just reshifting that balance is probably quite good for me, but it has been tough to sort of, yeah, figure that out.
Yes, I think
What's your work? Like, how are you? Because I think we're both workaholics. How are you finding that changing?
I wish I had less work at the moment because I've got scripts that are on deadline, which I'm loving writing and I'm really enjoying it. So this is not a complaint. I'm very lucky to have scripts that anyone wants to read. Privilege, 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 privilege. But there are times when I feel like other people are making banana bread and learning origami and making shadow puppet videos and going, oh, I've just binged all of Ally McBeal again. And I'm like, oh, if I just have to get to the end of this day and then I can, watch one episode of Unorthodox and fall into bed. And I think I'm being saved by exercise as well. I have these personal training sessions on Zoom. And if without that,
Oh, I'd be
I
gone,
would
yeah.
have, I wouldn't be doing this. And I again realize I'm very privileged to A, have, it's not very much room, but a little bit of room to do that exercise in. And also to pay a personal trainer is a huge, huge thing. But I'm starting off that way, just to get into the routine, because if I left it to myself, I would have to get myself out of bed and go, oh, I'm sure there's an app, there's a video I can do, but a
Yeah.
video isn't expecting me to get out of bed, and I would sit
Yeah.
on my phone and I would get depressed.
Me and my mum have, we do it together and we've set a time. And if she's 5 minutes late, I tell her that the class is full and she's not allowed to come in.
Oh, wow.
So we've been doing free online videos, but holding each other very accountable through
That's
that.
great. That's really great.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the other way of doing it. I also want to support this personal trainer who I was working with before because I want to support businesses. There's a dance fitness person called Melissa, who's a young woman of color who's absolutely incredible. I'll show you her videos actually.
Oh,
And
yes,
she's got a
then.
fem she's incredible. If I'd seen what she could do, before I accepted her offer to have classes, I would never have said yes because
Oh,
she should not be
interesting.
teaching a numpty like me to dance. But she's great, and she keeps saying, "I can't believe how far you've come. I can't believe how far you've come." She's so, so good at it. But she's got a feminist dance method called In Her, like inner, but in her. So I really want to do a guilty feminist big dance Zoom with her.
Oh,
But it's
please.
all about like finding your own sort of movement. I mean, she's teaching me choreography and stuff, but it's really helpful because with normal personal training, it's like, how many of these do I have to do? But with dance, it's like, oh, I have to get that. I want to get that
Yeah.
right. But
Yes.
you're doing that like maybe 100 times, but you're enjoying it
Yes.
because you're like, well, that was it. That I got it then. That was it. That was it. And you're seeing progress. And I need that to make meaning of this time. Again, need is a strong word. Hashtag privilege.
No,
But
no, 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 no. You need that. I had this. This is a very privileged little girl story, but I was in a lot of pain when I was younger and I couldn't walk for a lot of years. Then I had a full...
That part is not privilege.
No,
no matter who
I'm building up the story.
You're building up the privilege, okay.
Then I had, I was physically recovered. My body was working again. I had a huge mental breakdown, couldn't leave the house, had a panic attack every time I stepped out of the house. And I spent about a year in bed, and my family was like, we just need you to do something, one thing. And I decided the only thing that I could do in the whole world was tap dance. I'd never tap danced before. I'd never danced before, but I decided the only thing that was going to get me out of bed was tap dance. So for like 6 months, we found a very lovely tap dance teacher, and she'd come over to my house every other day and teach me tap dance. And she was the only person I saw, and I've not really done tap dance since, but it was my tap dance breakdown, and all I did was tap dance.
I really want you to bring that back. I would like you to lead a feminist Zoom tap dance class as
Zoom
well.
Tap dance, yeah. I'm quite good, actually, because I'm very uncoordinated, but tap dance is a bit like maths with your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually used to do tap dance in New York in this class in a community centre, and it was just me and 2 70-year-old men, and we'd all learn dances together.
Amazing!
Yeah,
amazing!
Fun.
I desperately want to do that. I want to do a pink protest tap dance. There's something quite protesty about tap, I think. I understand why you wanted to do it. It's going to make a noise. Stomping. There's a stomp element to it, if you've ever seen stomp. Have you had any I'm a Feminist Butts come out of the quarantine? Apart from your acrylic nails.
Yes, I'm a Feminist Butt. All I'm thinking about is that I can't get a blow dry, and that I can't get my nails done, and that I can't.
Your hair's gone blonde.
My hair's gone blonde, exactly. I'm not blonde, but it's also going completely brown.
It was pink, and then
it
blue.
It was pink. It was pink and blue, and I think I could dye it myself, but I don't really like dyeing it myself. And also, this is weird, but I've been quite sad this week, and the pink feels a bit happy. Like, I'm worried if I have pink hair now, I'll think of that when I think about pink hair. So right. I'm making this my blonde.
I love this blonde.
Sad time. Yeah, I don't mind it. You know what, though? I think I would have felt guilty before for how much I miss, like, beauty treatments. But I think actually, in a way, this time has made me realise how fundamental they are to so many women's lives, and how actually that isn't something we should feel guilty for, because they, you know, in a way, they're like, my brothers desperately miss football games. And I understand that feeling, because I miss going out with my friends and getting my nails done. And I think that's not something actually to be ashamed of at all.
I really miss being prettier than I am.
Yeah. I know.
I genuinely don't think this is unfeminist. I miss the human ability to decorate my face and my hair and that kind of thing in the way that only other people can do it for me. And I think men should have more of those.
That's what I mean.
Socially acceptable ways to glitter, because it is a human, it's a uniquely human thing to decorate. We decorate our homes, we decorate our, from little children, we decorate our pencil cases, we put our names on them, we put little stickers on them. And
I think food, like, we decorate everything. I completely agree. I don't think it's anything, I think this has made me realise even more how untrivial those things are.
I agree. And
how,
and cis men,
actually
straight
fundamental
men,
they are.
Cis straight men have so few options to decorate, and gay men have the trans community, there is a danger in them doing those things, because in that community doing those things, because they risk violence, which is, when you think about it, absolutely extraordinary that human beings would want to hurt somebody else because they've decorated. When you step back and look at it anthropologically, that is absolutely extraordinary thing, that your desire to decorate your eyes or your hair or your body is in some way a threat to me that incites violence because you are threatening my gender idea of myself. It's absolutely extraordinary. So I think, if anything, I would like to advocate for more decoration options to be available for everybody, rather than taking away the ones that cis women have.
Totally. I also think on that, I've always had this sort of a subconscious obsession with decorating myself in a way that makes me like almost actively unattractive to men, or like what the sort of general base idea that we have about what is attractive to men is. And it's something that's always really confused my mum. She's like, why do you spend so much on all this stuff and you just make yourself look madder and madder and like less and less appealing or normal?
But you're very pretty, and your self-expression and your gender expression is very femme, but I know what she means in terms of it having a slightly outsider quirk.
Yeah,
you sort of have a festival quirk to
she's
you.
She's totally right. And I think I've always just been like, this is something I love and I need the world to know that I do it completely for me. Mm. It is not like, if I wanted to make myself look attractive for men, I'd do something completely different. But when I'm at my best self, you know, have bright pink hair and eyelashes that go up to my eyebrows. And I think it's, we really need to sort of finally get rid of that idea that any women are doing it for men, because I think, I miss it so much.
Somebody here says, called JT Pantalon, says, I'm trans masculine and definitely miss rocking suspenders and a bow tie. That's a great example. Yeah. And I think maybe I am going to have to start dressing up at home. I just can't do it the way, and it just takes so long and I've got work. I'm desperate. And I think, because I just used to look different. And I think I was known as someone who glammed up a lot. And I think my look was generally quite chic. When I, like, if I it came is. To a,
super chic.
A party, I, you know, or something to you, I would always, you know, I would really think about my clothes, my makeup and my hair, and loved it. Absolutely loved it. I didn't know what a big part of my identity it was. So I'm going to have to put aside some time. I'm doing, oh, no, I'm not allowed to say that I'm doing that because it's not been announced, but I'm doing something which means I might have to dress up a bit this weekend, which I'm very excited about. I should ask you another question, though. Is there anything about this that surprised you, Scarlett? Yourself or the human race?
Very interesting. I don't know. I think there's a lot that hasn't surprised me, but it's just sort of worrying. I think the mental health aspect of this is very tough. I volunteer on a crisis text line, and I've been doing that a bit more, and people are in a lot of pain. And I guess it surprised me a bit that maybe that isn't being talked about quite enough in like wider circles and by the government and stuff. Personally, I have been surprised at, as I said, I've moved back in my family, and I think I've been surprised at how much we're all working together and sort of helping each other, which is a really nice thing to come out of this for me.
A really, really nice thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you're doing that and you have that and you're keying into it, because it's really easy not to key into your support systems
and be
part of them. And it sounds like also with volunteering on that line that some of your coping strategy is also to actively help others.
Oh, without a doubt. That's like it's selfishly just the thing that makes me feel better. In terms of my own surprise, a funner one, I've been surprised at missing like dating and sort of that side of my life, which I think also just being alone, it like makes you think about it more. Do you know what I mean?
Are you doing any flirting on text?
I was a bit, and now I've sort of given up on it because it just feels a bit, I don't know, I'm quite like, I'm quite practical with it, and I'm like I'm not.
Before I ask the next question, I'm just going to say, Emma Gannon, thank you so much for saying I'm chic. And Jess Robinson, so I saw your text and I will FaceTime you. I mean, why not? This is how television is made now, Scarlett.
I've seen
Graham Norton. It's exactly the same as this.
To be honest, all the chat shows are a bit like this. I've been so surprised by how casual they all are. I keep watching like Colbert and I'm like, you're just chatting.
It's totally Instagram Live. All of those shows now are just this. Any routine that's helping you or not? Lack of routine is also good to hear about.
No, exercise has definitely been helping me. I have been working. I think I've been working quite a lot, but I think for me, the thing that's been surprising is just it doesn't feel the same. Like, I think I finished a project and afterwards just got overwhelmed with the sadness because I was like, I want to go out and celebrate and, like, be talk to people and have this be a change, and it's not, and that's tough. I think I've been doing quite a lot of cooking and helping my mum cook and clean and stuff, and actually that is a nice routine because it just passes so many hours. And then I have a very nice evening routine where I got a Nintendo Switch right before this, which is a video gaming device, and I've been playing a game called Animal Crossing, which has been the
Oh, I've
funnest
seen
thing.
this.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'm in an Animal Crossing WhatsApp group, and it's actually the only WhatsApp group I'm sort of keeping on top of, and we just talk about
I've seen people in
things.
WhatsApp groups I'm on talking about this. I am not
It's the
a
best.
gamer, but I've been really wanting to talk to you. Because you put me on a Love Island WhatsApp group, and you know that I loved the group, but I was never someone who easily keyed into Love Island. I
Yes.
watched a few episodes to just sort of be in the gang, but I wasn't someone who was drawn to it. But Too Hot to Handle, I am utterly
Oh my God.
compelled.
It's
I'm
amazing. What
compelled.
episode are you on?
I think I've just done 4 or 5.
Said, is this sponsored by a Diet Coke? It is.
It is, sorry, just yeah. Diet
Yeah.
Coke. You're
Diet
going to
Coke.
give Diet Coke, give us £10,000 for a joke. That's the slogan. So spare change for them. So the rules are different. What I like about it is that with Love Island, it's all like
Oh, no
be, you know,
spoilers.
fancy someone, fancy someone, fancy someone. With Too Hot to Handle, was the is the concept of the show, and it's why it's called Too Hot to Handle, is the whole point is they're meant to be not having sex, making genuine emotional connection. And I think that makes you actually fancy people more because if of course any it's the hot priest factor. If you cannot have them, you then your libido
Yes,
reacts. Whereas I think with those normal dating shows or Love Island style shows, because the camera's there and you're meant to be fancying people, you're meant to be snogging people, it feels so much more artificial. And for me, Too Hot to Handle, it feels weird like they're really having these breakthroughs because they have to go to intimacy workshops.
can I just say, someone has said, I'm a feminist, but I watch Too Hot to Handle. No, because actually, there are some very interesting things in the show about men and women and male toxic masculinity and. Comes later, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is an amazing episode on toxic masculinity, and there's lots of mud involved.
Oh, I've seen the mud episode, and it is what I love about it is that every intimacy workshop somebody cries, and I know it is a real thing because it's like those breakthroughs people have in therapy, and they've deliberately chosen people who only have one night stands and can't make a connection, and nothing wrong with people who want to only have one night stands, but people who are doing it to avoid, and it's really interesting.
And the people I think know they're doing it to avoid. I also think it's very feminist in that it shows we still have this idea that men are the ravenous, horny, sexual ones and women sort of aren't. And on this one, the women and the men are as horny as each other and it's
If
great.
anything, the women are friskier and more
Yeah,
keen to break
I
the
think
rules.
so.
Yeah, it's
They
really
are.
interesting, which is, you know, what I know of real life. I know so many people who complain that their opposites, so many women who complain their opposite sex partners don't want enough sex and it's a constant frustration and, you know, and it is that stereotype of men always having the high libidos just isn't true. Which brings me on
Also,
to
Desiree Birch is incredible on the voiceover.
She's
It's
so
amazing. The whole
good,
show,
and she's a friend of ours, and it went to number 1. And can I just say the way I'm going about Too Hot to Handle, it is still in that trashy TV. You know, obviously there are same-sex hookups, but it is heteronormative. It is a presentation of a very, very of only one style of body. So please put it into your trashy TV. With all of those stereotypes going on, do not think I'm recommending it as some kind of 1960s social experiment from which we can learn about all about feminism. But of those shows, I find it incredibly compelling. Which brings me on to any other recommendations, books, TV shows. What are
So
you consuming during
one,
quarantine, if anything?
well, something that's been a bit tough for me in quarantine is I've been over the last year judging the Women's Prize for Fiction, which has been the funnest, most amazing job ever. But over a 5 month period, I read 80 books and then had to basically read most of them again. And so I feel like I have kind of spent the last year inside reading, and now suddenly I'm like, this could have just happened few months later.
Yes, it would have been ideal for quarantine. I actually got asked to do it and said, well, one of those, I don't know if it was that one, yeah. I got asked to do one of those and I said no, because I was like, I cannot read this many books. There's no way I'm going to be able to do it. And when I saw you'd said yes, and I'm not sure if it was that one I was asked to do or a similar one, but I was like, oh my God, Scarlett, I know how hard you work. I know the demands on your time. How will you ever read so many books? I didn't understand how you could possibly do it, but see, you did.
I read a lot of books. I read about 4 books a month is my general thing, and I thought I'd be fine, and it was definitely like doubled, but I quite enjoyed it. I quite enjoyed knowing that reading was work. It was quite fun. But we announced our long list a while ago, and then we just announced our short list, and there are so many books on that I would really recommend.
Can we do a swipe to the we'll do a swipe up to the shortlist.
To the shortlist, yeah. There's different, like, this isn't me saying that any of the books are better than others in terms of who should win.
You cannot, because you're a judge.
I cannot. There's a book called Dominicana, which is on the shortlist, and it is about, it's sort of this really untold story of a Dominican woman in New York in the 1960s, and she moves there with her husband when she's 16, and the reason I really recommend it for now is because most of the book she's trapped inside this tiny flat.
Definitely reading that one.
Which, yeah, is and it's such an incredible book. It's by a woman called Angie Cruz, and I'd recommend that a lot. If you want a bit more like escapism, there's a book called The Most Fun We Ever Had.
You heard this?
It's very lovely. It's like long, and it's about a family with 4 daughters, and it's almost like a modern Pride and Prejudice.
Like a Little Women.
Yes, but very modern, and it follows them from when they're parents first meet to when the daughters are in their 40s, and it's just like you get completely lost in it.
Wonderful.
That's, yeah. And then Girl, Woman, Other as well is a very good one to read now.
Oh, I'm excited about that. Someone else recommended that. Yeah, was my friend Natalie Haynes on your shortlist?
Yes.
Yay. I thought that was the same shortlist.
Yes. So exciting. That's such a wonderful book. She's incredible.
What, it's about classics, yeah?
Yeah, it's a retelling of, I can't even remember what it's retelling of, but it's amazing. And it's a
retelling
feminist take on a lot of Greek culture, and it's really incredible. She's so clever.
She's been on the Guild. She's co-hosted the Guild of Feminists before. She's so clever. She's brilliant. So
be funny and clever.
I know, it's annoying. We will link to her. We will link to her to the shortlist. Within that. And we're doing a swipe up to
Virgin War. Yeah, okay. So I was the judge on the panel that didn't know the Greek history. And I think that gave me a very good perspective on how excellent the book is without knowing the Greek history before.
That's right. It is the Trojan War. I remember that now. So I think she talked about it on the show. I haven't read it yet because I just find it so hard to get time to read books, but they're all in a pile upstairs, and I will get to them.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Any pets, costumes, or eccentric relics you'd like to show us in your home? Have you got anything we can see?
Yes, well, my eccentric costume.
I just love.
Where are you?
I just love it. What else are you going to show us? Diet Coke, £10,000 is a joke.
So, I said I didn't have a boyfriend, but actually...
Oh, this is Christmas, my cat.
Did you say it was girl, woman, other? That's what I said. This is Christmas. He is my cat and my prince and my king. I think he knows that I'm a bit fragile at the moment because he's been so clingy and so lovely. And he wakes me up every morning by lying on my chest and licking my whole face.
Oh, can you put the camera down a bit so we can see his face? Not that we don't know your face.
Here he is.
Ragdolls are so beautiful. I have a ragdoll here somewhere. Toasty, where's Toast?
Isn't he like the most good-looking man you've ever seen in your life?
He is the best-looking man. He is so handsome he could be on Too Hot to Handle.
He's actively sexy. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I wish I could introduce him to Toast. I mean, she's being fixed. Tom, is Toasty round? Because I want to introduce the ragdolls because Scarlett has Christmas Curtis there, and Toast Zielinski is on her way.
Okay,
so
wait, let me get that.
When she comes, we'll get Christmas back.
It's okay. I can hold him. He's due.
Yeah, the blue eyes of ragdolls.
Yeah,
just stunning.
Although he caught a rabbit the other day, and it was very traumatic. Yeah,
our ragdolls don't go outside because they're not meant to, but they suppose they can in the country.
Yeah, so we're in the countryside. Also, I don't know if this is interesting, but I'm in a household with two quite vulnerable people. So we are on extreme lockdown. So I haven't been outside my house, my garden in 6 weeks, which is quite mad. I don't even know what's going to happen when I go into a shop for the first time.
It's weird if you've been. Yeah. I only went on a 1 week retreat. And look, there's Toast. Toast the ragdoll.
Oh my goodness.
I want to get a screenshot. Well, I'll get one later because I'm too scared. Hey, Toasty. Look. Look at that's Christmas, your boyfriend. Look, your new boyfriend. No. Toast says, I don't want a boyfriend. I have a boyfriend. It's Steve. Toast thinks Steve is her boyfriend.
Oh, no, that's so sweet.
She does. She flirts with him so much. And she sits out the side of his door demanding entrance in the morning. She genuinely does.
One of the reasons I moved in my family is because we've got so many pets, and we've also got a dog and another cat, and the cat had kittens, so we've got four kittens here. And she's a girl, the dog, but she thinks she's the father of the kittens.
Oh!
So she truly thinks that they're hers and that she maybe gave birth to them and she cleans them every day.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. Well, you told me, because when we had these two new kittens come, because Toast's sister sadly died and she didn't like being alone, but we were scared she'd reject one kitten. So we thought if the kittens have got each other, she can reject them and they can play together or they can be a three. But at least she's got company, because we thought it's better for her to be annoyed than completely unstimulated and isolated. Yeah. Quarantine. You're alone. She was quarantined.
That's literally that was mine. It was either I stayed home in London on my own or came up here with my very annoying family. And
yeah, exactly.
I chose to be annoyed.
Irritated rather than stimulated is better, if that's a possibility. And for some people as well. Some people would rather be alone. But you told me that your mum's theory is you just put the animals together, you let them scrap about and they will sort it out and they will all eventually cuddle up and sleep together. And at first I wasn't sure that was going to be true, but it is the Emma Freud system for making cats be siblings. 100% worked for us.
It's a bit like Too Hot to Handle. If you just put them together in a place, you know,
so similar,
going to end up. Something I want to talk to you about, because I've definitely been feeling this. I am not someone who is very susceptible to like online comparison. I actually don't get it that much. Have you been feeling like you are getting quarantine wrong sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
It's a weird feeling.
Yes. Yeah. And it's because this actually brings me to the next question elegantly. What a brilliant segue you've made there, Scarlett. That have you had a low moment or a dark thought that you can tell us about that was specific? Just because we ask this question every day because people are only live streaming their best moments. And it can, of course, and I understand why. We're human beings. Of course, we feel like putting the live stream on when we're making the margaritas, when we're putting on our funny hats or, you know, doing that kind of house party activity. No one puts the live stream on when they're sobbing under a duvet.
No.
But everyone I've talked to has had these dark thoughts and low moments. And it's really, really useful to talk about them because it makes everyone feel saner when we hear it. Yeah. Has anything occurred to you, or have you felt like, oh God, this is never going to end and I'm not going to be able to cope and I'm going to just run out and break out of quarantine and I'm going to be the one who's going to break it?
Yeah, every day.
Wow.
Not to shout myself out, but I've been making these mental health and makeup videos talking about exactly this and feeling sad because I think
they're funny. Getting ready to go nowhere.
Yeah, getting ready for nothing. But
I've
been trying to talk about this online because I do think online has become this like rampage of people doing great things, and it just makes you feel terrible by yourself. Mm-hmm. I've been feeling really insecure, and I think I think that was maybe a part of my teenage years, but hasn't been something I've lived with for a while now, and it's just all come flooding back. And I think something about this time is definitely making us all very vulnerable again, and like things that, you know, were maybe niggling at the side of your brain are definitely coming back out. But I'm thinking specifics. I've had definitely a lot of moments of seeing people on these big Zoom calls and these big like drinks parties and literally being like, why am I not being invited to drinks parties
100%.
And quizzes? I'm like, I had one friend be like, oh, there are so many quizzes. And I was like, I haven't done any
being invited
quizzes.
To any quizzes. I felt that. And comedy gigs and things like that, that I'm like, do they not want me? And I know that that's irrational, and either they think I'm too busy, or they just, you know, they've thought of another lineup, and that's absolutely fine. And in my rational moments, I don't feel that at all. But there are poignant like moments of just like, in the first week, deep pain of, and I'm not normally someone who massively suffers from FOMO, but I had like a deep anxiety and pain about it. And I think it's because I was cut off from all the humans I would normally see, that I just went, if you're now going to go online together without me, which isn't a thing, without me isn't a thing. They're with other people. They're not without me. But and I knew it was irrational. It was like being very hormonal. But it was a cutting pain inside my body.
One thing I feel very lucky about is knowing that if I start having thoughts like that, they aren't real, that it is just my mental health and my anxiety is coming in, and it happens when I'm weak. I suffer from obsessive compulsive disorder, and this has really highlighted that. And I was feeling a bit vulnerable yesterday, and it was like I could see germs and see the dirt. And it just comes over me, but I know that it's not real. And then that goes away. So I've had that, but the FOMO has been really bad, feeling like I'm not doing enough sort of like gimmicky fun things. I keep seeing these people like, you know, having a canapé, is it for their family, or like all getting dressed up, and I think about doing those things and I'm like, but it would just be the same people again. It would just be us. No one else would come. So I just think
I have that too. Tom and I haven't done any of that dressing up, but I'm like, I'm too tired. Like I find quarantine very tiring.
Same.
By the time I've done my exercise, planned how my day's going to go out, done all the things, I still haven't got back to everyone on email. I just cannot take an hour to kind of dress up for a pretend, and I'm loving other people doing it and I'm admiring them. And I wish that I was doing it, because I think it looks great. And I, at some point I will have to dress up just to remind myself of who I used to be. But I'm like, how? I just don't have the energy to spend time getting dressed up and to plan an Italian themed dinner party. And I see one of my friends is doing it with her flatmate. And I'm like loving seeing it, genuinely, absolutely loving seeing it. And I want to be there. But the idea of myself doing it, I just don't have the energy at the moment. I don't know what it is.
No, and I'm a bit depressed, and I can't do things like that when I'm depressed. And I think someone just said something so good, which is their new word is FOND, fear of not doing enough. And I weirdly do feel I've had these feelings during quarantine so much, but I have been prepared for them, I think, because when I was sick, so I got sick when I was 14, and this has been very traumatic because during that time I was locked in the house I didn't leave my house for about 5 years. So I feel like I've done this before. And But one thing that I remember happening in that is when you're sick as a child, especially, all my friends were at school and they were doing their GCSEs and they were starting to do these very significant things like get a boyfriend, go to festivals, go on holiday. And I wasn't doing any of those. And also when you're sick, people tell you all the time, I get people being like, you know, I knew this girl that was sick and she read the entire works of Shakespeare while she had cancer and it was so beautiful and she learned. And then someone else would be like, I knew a girl who was sick and she taught herself how to, you know, code and then she made Facebook and it was just amazing. And I would literally be sitting in bed crying, watching Grey's Anatomy. And I was like, why is there this pressure to be sick? And I became really obsessive about it. And because of that, and because my friends were doing the GCSEs, I just felt like I couldn't be sick and also not be productive every second of every day. And whenever I don't have regrets much about life, but the one thing I regret is thinking I had to be productive during that time and thinking that I had to use my sick time to make things. I wish I had just known that my one job during that time was to stay alive and cope, and that anything I did was okay. And I'm trying to tell myself that about this time again and again. I think we'll look back and think that everyone was just going mad when they were talking about all this productivity. And also, there's never been a time in history where the only currency, the only thing we can share is doing things, you know?
Yes.
Like, all you can talk about is what you've done that day, and everyone's saying, what have you done today, and what have you achieved this week, and what have you using with your time? And actually, it's okay to just exist.
Yes, I think that's so great, and it's so important. And breathing in and out is its own job right now. That leads us very beautifully on to, as you always provide the segues, is there a piece of online feminism that we can help with? And if we have the energy and if we have the wherewithal, because I like to just contribute, share, donate, pass on, retweet someone else's most important piece of feminism, because that gives me a sense of purpose without exhausting me.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. There is. I am a UN Women advocate and I do a lot of work with them, and they are doing a lot of stuff on domestic violence, especially, and trying to help women who aren't safe. They're also trying to get, they work very globally, so they're working in Lebanon and Turkey and a few other countries that have high amounts of female refugees and helping get them SIM cards, which is one of the most crucial things at the moment, because a lot of women don't have SIM cards and then can't get out of situations that might be dangerous. I also think on any mental health charity that you're seeing at the moment, that is in a way such a feminist issue, because I think so many women are at the moment, having been dealt the brunt of being a caregiver to their families, suddenly having to do so much more, handle, you know, husbands who are left at home. And that stress is definitely what a lot of what I've been getting anyway on the crisis text line. I do. So Shout, which is at Give Us a Shout, is always a charity I would recommend donating to.
And Scarlett, then, can you make stories of these? And then
I'll make stories of these.
Feminist, and then we'll do a swipe up, because it just makes it easier. And I say it every day, but if you don't have any money right now, that's absolutely fine. If you can give a follow, give a retweet, give a regram. Can you imagine what it must be like to be running some kind of organization or charity battling this environment where everybody's holding on to their money and everyone's got this huge, big top line global pandemic, and it's their thing is we're trying to get SIM cards to women and they feel like they're drowning. If suddenly loads of people follow them and loads of people share them, it just lifts their ability to be able to do what they can do. And lots of people still have a full-time job, their same salary, and nothing to spend it on except food and rent now, because there's no pub to go to and there's no cinema to go to. So they might give more even if you have nothing.
But also it's not just that. I mean, if you are seeing charities being a bit like desperate asking for money, I know a lot of people that work at lots of different charities, and the amount of money they're losing at the moment is astonishing, especially as a lot of charities rely on like outdoor shops or you know, donations or whatever. And I know so many people who work at charities who are being furloughed just because the charity can't withstand the sort of heft of it. So
that brings me on Comic Relief, which is your family's project.
Yes.
Can you tell us about what's happening with Comic Relief this week?
Yes. So tomorrow night is the Comic Relief have collaborated with Children in Need, which if you have grown up in my household, it's a bit like the Montagues and the Capulets coming together.
Wow.
I probably shouldn't say that out loud, but it is a big deal.
The Sharks and the Jets finally united for one big dance-off together.
Tottenham and Arsenal. So they are coming together with the BBC. It is a, I think, like 3-hour long show on the BBC tomorrow night. It's called The Big Night In. My dad has been organising it mostly from our kitchen. I've witnessed a lot of very amusing Zoom calls, and I've actually seen a lot of the content, and it's amazing. Like, they've got all these comedians who are normally too busy to do things, have done incredible sketches, and Catherine Tate's done a sketch. Little Britain have done something. People Just Do Nothing have done stuff, so it's going to be really fun. And also, Comic Relief has shifted. If people don't know what Comic Relief is, they raise funds, as you probably know, every 2 years, and then they give those funds out to individual projects around the UK. 50% goes to the UK, 50% goes to Africa. And they were one of the first charities funding old people's homes. They were one of the first charities funding mental health homes, and the projects they work with, and domestic violence shelters, the projects they work with are more in need now than ever before. So they are sort of literally, all the funds they raise tomorrow night will go directly to the crisis.
Absolutely amazing. Somebody's just suggested for your t-shirt. Someone's just suggested for your t-shirt, it's okay to just exist. So Scarlett, every day on this show, the merch store who do the Guilty Feminist merch, based on something that the guest has said, make a slogan t-shirt.
No.
It's print on demand, so there's no waste. And the merch store is giving 100% of the profit to the artist, in this case you, or you can choose to divert it to another artist if you prefer. But it's 100% because so many artists are at home and can't gig. So if you buy Scarlett Curtis's t-shirt, she will either use that money because she cannot do her normal job, or she'll divert it to another artist.
I am very lucky to have moved back in with my family, so I will be diverting it to another artist, and I will let you know who that is. And that is so exciting. I feel like I'm at like a party where, you know, they would like do your, or when you went to the zoo and they'd put your face on a t-shirt at the end.
Yes,
did you ever have that?
Like that, except
it feels like this.
It's going to have, it's okay just to exist. If that's the one Hannah chooses, Hannah from the merch store does choose. But you can always have a say. Okay. And then it'll say ex Scarlett Curtis. And then it'll say the new normal and stay at home on it. It's okay just to exist. I think will be a very popular one.
I really like that one. I really like that. Some people are saying, where is it on? It's on BBC One at 7 PM, I think.
Wonderful. And also it will be, if you Google it, it'll be all over the news. It's a huge, huge, huge deal. And I think I've just put a Comic Relief card on Moonpig, which says, I'm a feminist, but I believe the first Thursday after quarantine, we will come out into the streets and applaud the waxers and the threaders.
Oh, yeah. You know the queues around the supermarkets?
Yes.
That's going to be around waxers.
The waxing
and
salons,
yeah. And I also think they're going to, I mean, what
they're
going to
be key workers then. 22 hours a day, they'll be
what
waxing.
What I've got going on down here is going to take a few hours to...
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. They are going to be like emergency services.
Yeah. I didn't know my bum could be so hairy.
That's another t-shirt. You may have usurped your t-shirt.
No. I like the other one.
Just be careful what you say, Scarlett.
On the back. It's okay just to exist. And then on the back,
I didn't know my bum could be so hairy. I mean, Hannah may do that. I imagine she'll be kind and just do the front. Do you think that humanity is going to learn anything from this? Or are there any habits you think you might take forward? Is there anything we might take post-quarantine as a society or as an individuals?
I know I'm off the norm on this, but as individuals, I'm quite resistant to thinking we'll take anything away, because when I was sick, again, all anyone said to me is, you're going to be so strong when you come out of this, and you're going to be such a good, compassionate person, you're going to be so clever, it's going to teach you much. And I felt like they were excusing what was happening to me. Like, sometimes bad things just happen, and then they don't have to mean anything. You can just get through them. Like, you don't have to find meaning. I hope as a society, we will realise, or the Tory government will realise, how important our welfare state is, and how important that side of our world is, and hopefully spend more money on that. And I really hope, I think one thing that might, I follow American politics very closely, and I think there is a chance that this will really, really help support the argument for universal healthcare in America.
Oh, please, 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 God. Finally, if you could get out of quarantine right now, what would you do? If they said it's over, what's the thing you're dying to do, or a thing you're dying to do?
So big picture is I would just love to see my friends and have dinner with them, because I miss my friends so much. Small picture, I want to go and get a takeaway cup of coffee. I did not know how important that act was to my daily routine, to my mental health, to me feeling like I'm an adult. And I just want to walk somewhere and get a takeaway cup of coffee and it have a little bit of chocolate on top. And
yes. And someone's saying happy Earth Day. So let's celebrate the fact that there are many fewer planes in the sky, and we are using many fewer resources at the moment, even if it's for a tragic reason. Human beings need to see silver linings. So thank you very much for pointing that out. Support the t-shirts. They all go to artists. Some of our artists are really struggling to pay the rent and food bills at the moment. So go to guiltyfeminist.com and you'll see the merch there and the stay at home t-shirts. Also, we have a Patreon account. We've never asked our audience for money before or sold advertising, but we're in a different situation now because we can't sell tickets to events. So if you could support
us, that
would be awesome.
I am going to sign up immediately because I have so much back payment on my, the amount of love and joy that Guilty Feminist has given me over the years.
Thank
I would
you.
Have paid so much for that at so many points in my life. And I think it is incredible that you are finally opening that up. Because I also think I want to give to this show because it makes me so happy.
Well, and thank
I don't
you
know
so
why
much.
I'm spending
that really means
money
a lot.
On BritBox when I would rather be spending it on the Guilty Feminist.
Thank you so, so, so much. We really appreciate it. And if you do Patreon, you get extra content. And we're trying to, we're trying to give every, this extra content is for everyone. It's Monday to Friday, 6 o'clock. But there is extra behind the scenes Patreon content as well. Who is on tomorrow? I want to know. And I can't, oh, Jamie Windust's on tomorrow. And then,
oh
yeah.
Oh my God, I love
they're
them.
Amazing.
Oh,
and
we say
Friday, there's an amazing person who's doing visors for the NHS with their design and technology students. And next week we have the incredible Sarah Barron. I think Felicity Ward's coming up. I'm hoping to get Desiree Birch on. There are many and various Derry girls who have said they'd love to do it, who I haven't got. I haven't scheduled them in, but I'm so excited about all of the Derry girls. So I've so many treats to come, gang. Anything else you want to tell us before we go?
I don't think so.
Scarlett
Just
Curtis,
sending everyone's love.
Scarlett Curtis, you've been the most wonderful new normal guest. Thank you for sharing
Thank
your new
you
normal with
me.
Us, the Guilty Feminist. You are one of our delights and one of our favourites. We love you so much.
I
and everybody
you.
Follow Pink Protest. Make all your stories now and we'll share them.
Yes,
and
I will.
Make sure you all buy Feminists Don't Wear Pink and Other Lies, and It's Not Okay to Feel Blue and Other Lies, because they're both anthologies worth their weight in gold, especially at this point. The blue book, because of mental health issues that we are all necessarily suffering.
And all the money from both of them goes to two charities who are also struggling. So you'll be donating through that.
They're wonderful things to do. Please make stories. I'm sorry I've given you so
I
much
will.
Story
work. Now. Okay.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.